Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 42. Picking the perfect craft show, 10 tips for success. Hi everybody, I'm Sarah Kornack and I'm so glad you decided to listen in today to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast. Our last interview was with Sandy, who has an organic baby apparel line. And at the end of that episode, we discussed how she went to a big expo in Las Vegas called the ABC Expo. Well, that got me thinking about all of the women who are listening to our podcast and who are making handmade items. Most of us out there aren't quite ready for a big trade expo. That would be really awesome if we were. But in the meantime, a craft show, a local craft show, is a great first step to getting your product out there in front of an audience. So I thought I would talk today about 10 tips for picking that perfect craft show for you to display and sell your handmade goods. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
For this particular topic, I feel like I have actually quite a bit of hands-on knowledge when it comes to craft fairs. If you're not as familiar with our kind of beginning story, let me get you caught up a little bit. In 2009, myself, my sister Beth Ann, my mom, and my sister-in-law, Abby, who now blogs at Just a Girl in Her Blog, we decided to start a handmade jewelry business together. It started out kind of as just something fun to try handmade jewelry together to have kind of like a girls' night. And then we decided to start selling our handmade jewelry at first at craft shows. And we actually did that for quite a few years until we decided that handmade jewelry wasn't quite our thing. It wasn't a passionate pursuit for us. The handmade jewelry that we mostly focused on was necklaces made out of vintage wallpaper, and they're actually really cool, and our customers really, really loved them, and they went over well at craft shows. But since our heart really wasn't devoted to handmade jewelry, it was kind of something we picked up, but since it wasn't a passion, it eventually became apparent that we kind of needed to shut down shop on our handmade jewelry business. But that allowed us the time to pursue other things, which led to the podcast. And the handmade jewelry business really is what got us started on so many different business pursuits. We were able to get our feet wet in business with that handmade jewelry business. You know, it was our first experience with Etsy. So although the handmade jewelry is now a kaput business, it was really that trampoline, that launching pad for us to turn our attentions to businesses that we feel a little bit more passionately about and enjoy a little bit more, such as the terrariums and the podcast for us. And Abby used the time to start her blog, Just a Girl in Her Blog, which has done extremely well for her. So a failure, in quotes, so to speak, isn't always necessarily a failure. But anyhow, because of that handmade jewelry business, I've actually sold jewelry, handmade jewelry, at quite a few craft shows over the last several years. So starting in 2009 was our first craft show, all the way until 2012, 13, something like that. So because of my experience with craft shows, I thought I would do an episode for those of you who are new to the craft show arena on maybe how to select what craft show to go to. And then in a future episode, I think I'd like to talk about tips to have a successful craft show once you get into one. But I had enough information to cover just picking the craft show that to fill up one entire episode. I didn't want to make this a 2-hour long episode. So we're splitting it up into two chunks. Picking a craft show is today. And in another episode, we will talk about things that you can do to make your craft show a success. So maybe the first thing we should talk about is, why should you even bother going to a craft show if you make handmade goods? Well, the obvious answer is to make money and to sell your product, which is a very good answer. But one of the most valuable things about a craft show is the feedback that you get. It's immediate feedback. You interact with your customers, so you really get a sense of what they're drawn to, what they like, what they don't like. You will be very surprised at your first craft show what sells and what doesn't sell. Each year we tried to make a couple new designs or new products. We tried to do other types of handmade jewelry. And every year, designs that we thought were winners would turn out to be the big losers. And designs that we didn't like would sell way better than we ever could have imagined. I remember one time I made this collage type jewelry in a bezel, and I hated it after I made it. So I immediately put it on a clearance table that we had that year. I didn't even try to sell it at full price. And it sold like right away from the clearance table. And somebody loved it, and I couldn't stand it even though I made it. So you will constantly be surprised at what people like and don't like. And getting that immediate feedback, being able to talk face-to-face with your customers about it is just invaluable, especially as you're starting out your business. If you're well established, you might already have a great idea of what your customers like, don't like, their feedback. But if you're brand new to the handmade world, getting that immediate customer feedback can be extremely helpful to show you kind of how to grow your business. So that's why you should think about going to a craft show. Now let's get into how to pick the right craft show to attend. Craft shows take a lot of time and they take money. So it's important to use your resources wisely. I must say my husband is pretty excited that I'm not selling at craft shows this fall, because every craft show that I attended just took away from family time. So you do need to choose your craft shows wisely. So the first tip would be to start visiting craft shows now. Fall and early winter are obviously prime craft show times. People are starting to think about Christmas, and the fall weather inspires a lot of outdoor craft shows. We made the mistake several times of not attending a craft show first, and had we done that, we never would have wasted our money or time on some of these craft shows. So visiting them first, visiting them now, will really help you decide which ones are worth your time and your money. Another benefit from visiting craft shows now and deciding which ones you would like to apply for: the application for craft shows can often be very early. For instance, a craft show we did every year in September, the deadline was February or March. So if you are thinking in the summer, oh yeah, I'd like to attend a craft show in the fall, you may be too late. And if you go to apply to a craft show in the summer, whose deadline was a few months ago, and they still have spaces available, that's another good hint that it might not be the best craft show. The best craft shows, their spaces fill up quickly, and they have a long wait list after the show has filled. So keep that in mind as you begin to apply to craft shows. When you're visiting a craft show, take a look at the booth setup that different people have. That'll help you get an idea for how you would like to set up your booth. And start asking vendors at those craft shows what other shows that they do. Vendors will happily talk about, oh, I'm at this craft show, I'm at that one next, this one's good, this one's okay. They're a friendly bunch, and talking with vendors at a craft show is a great way to figure out not only is this a good craft show, but what are some other craft shows you may not have heard of or thought of that are also good craft shows. Number two, consider the audience of the craft show and compare that to your products. This tip could sound a little bad, but bear with me here. If you attend a craft show and the average age of the attendee is 75 and you have a very hip new product, something that doesn't fit with that age group, you know, that probably isn't a great fit for you. If you attend a craft show and all of the vendors are selling crafts that were popular in the 80s and you have a hip new product, that show is probably not a great fit for you. And I hate to say this one, but it's true. Craft shows in more affluent areas can attract more affluent customers, and people with money can spend more money, and people that don't have as much money can't or shouldn't spend as much money. So it sounds bad, but it's true. You might want to consider that as well. So just look around. Look at the customers that are there at that craft show, but also look at the vendors. Would your product fit? Is the audience right? Are the other vendors just selling something completely alien to your product? And is the tone of the craft fair just so different from your product that your item would just not fit in? Number three, think about the cost of the craft fair. Most of the shows that we went to were about, I'd say anywhere from $80 to $100 a day. Some were less, some were a little bit more. But that was kind of the general price for these craft shows. It might be helpful for you to think in terms of break even then for a particular craft show. So for instance, if a craft show is $80, the average cost of one of your items is $8, then you need to sell 10 just to break even. And you definitely want to do more than just break even for all of your time and effort of attending these craft shows. But calculating that break-even point might be a useful tool in deciding if a craft show would be worth it or not. You do need to be prepared. If your craft show just doesn't turn out the way you want and you don't really make the sales you want, you need to be prepared to eat that cost, to be financially solvent enough that if you don't get a sale, you can eat that $80 and life will go on. Because unfortunately, this never really happened to us, but we would attend craft shows where we would be doing very well, but some of the other vendors would be discussing with us, didn't even make the fee back yet. I only had one sale. So unfortunately, that definitely can happen, even though I'm sure your products are completely wonderful and fabulous and they will be flying off the shelf. But for anybody else out there, that information is for you. When you're thinking about the cost of the show, though, keep in mind that your only cost isn't just the fee. You will have a display that you will have to have as well. So maybe a tablecloth, shelving. If it's an outdoor event, you'll have a one-time cost of a tent. So keep all of that in mind as well. Number four, bigger craft shows are not necessarily always better. We attended one big craft show regularly when we were selling our handmade jewelry, which was our best show. It was fabulous. It was an outdoor show, which I'll mention that later. But we also attended one huge indoor craft show that was almost a complete bust for us. And I think the problem with that huge indoor one was there were so many vendors. The tables were so close together. The walking aisles were so small. There were two buildings worth of crafts. There were tons of visitors to this show. But if you liked something early on, it would have been such a pain to get back to that table later in the day to make a purchase. And you saw so many other things between the beginning of the day and the end of the day. It would be so easy to forget what you liked at the beginning of the day. I think that it just really limited people purchasing. It wasn't a comfortable environment for the patrons to the show. So that's my gut feeling on why that big show didn't work out well for us. So keep that in mind. But like I said, the other big show that we did attend regularly was always a really big success for us. You never can tell. That's why you should visit before you attend. Tip number five, think about outdoor versus indoor. The atmosphere of an outdoor craft show is really fun. And like I said, the outdoor show we attended was always our best one every year. Well, actually, I need to preface that. It was our best one every year except one when we had really bad weather. Weather is certainly a consideration for an outdoor event. An outdoor event can tend to cost you more in setup because you have to provide a tent usually. You have to bring in tables. The outdoor event just required more effort to set up. It was a little bit more time consuming in getting everything ready, doing the display, and contending with nature at the same time. But it was such a fabulous show. It was our favorite one to do every year. Indoor shows have their advantages. Usually the table and chairs is provided. Which, funny story, one year for some reason we selected on an application that we didn't want them to provide the table. I don't know why we did that. And then we forgot that we had selected that on our application. And we show up at the craft fair and we don't have a table at our spot. And it was completely our fault. It all worked out in the end. But that just came to mind, so I thought I'd share. We really messed up. Indoor can be lovely too. It's a lot less effort to set up. Tables are usually provided. You're not contending with weather. So those are just some things to consider when you're weighing an outdoor show versus an indoor show. Number 6, think about the amenities provided. The big one that comes to mind here, I think, is electricity. We never needed electricity, but often at craft shows, the electricity is hard to come by. Some craft shows might charge you extra. If your display absolutely requires electricity, be scoping that out or asking questions about that early on before you apply, because that could be a huge limiting factor for you. Internet access could also be a limiting factor, although with the new smartphones, that's becoming less of an issue. Early on, we could not accept credit card payments at shows because honestly, the technology just wasn't there. I mean, there was internet, so if we had had internet, that would have worked fine. But towards the end, the smartphones were able to handle anything, and we were able to accept credit card payments at shows, even in kind of the middle of nowhere. But keep in mind any special type amenities that you might need for your handmade item. Number 7, is this craft show only handmade goods? I think this one is really important. We attended a show. Once again, we hadn't checked it out first before attending, so it was our mistake, but it wasn't just handmade items. There were lots of other type of businesses there. I think it was called a handmade and vendor show. So at a show like that, you can get quite an interesting mix of tables. And if you are strictly a very handmade business, your items are going to do better at a show that is strictly for handmade items. That show was a big bust for us. When a show focuses on only handmade items, it seems to help if you are a handmade seller. Now, if you are, let's say, a Pampered Chef consultant and you have that type of business, a mixed setting could be great for you. I don't have experience in that to tell you how sales go for Pampered Chef consultants or other businesses like that at these type of shows, but a mixed setting obviously is what you want. But if you are selling handmade items, I would recommend only going to shows that allow handmade vendors. And related to that would be number 8. Is the show juried? A juried show is one in which you have to submit pictures of your product with the application, and they're reviewing the photos to make sure that your product is good and it fits with the feel of the rest of the show. Juried shows tend to have higher quality handmade items, and it can make a big difference to your sales if you're surrounded by other quality handmade sellers. It attracts a different caliber of clientele if you are attending a juried show that only selects high quality handmade items. And I know your handmade items are of high quality and are extremely unique and lovely, so a juried show is only to your advantage. Number 9, is the craft show online anywhere? Do they have an online presence? This one I actually think does not necessarily have to be a huge factor, but I wanted to include it because obviously things being online is the way things are. Having things online can obviously be very important. Actually, most of the shows that we attended were probably not online. They just had a local reputation for being the best craft shows in the area. A lot of them were actually put on by local churches each year in November, right before Christmas, and they were well attended, had lots of great crafters there, and we did very well at those shows, but their online presence was limited to a link on the church's website, and that did not hurt our sales at all. But I wanted to throw this one in there because I think it could have a bearing if you're really searching for only the youngest audience, the really hip audience, then obviously the shows with an online presence are probably going to be important to you. Number 10, you may need to mix it up which shows you attend each year. So we went through all of this about selecting the perfect craft show to attend. And now I'm telling you, you may have to just pick different ones, different years. Here's why I'm telling you this. We found that as the years went by and we would attend the same craft shows each year, we would run into scenarios where customers would come back to us year after year, but they would be buying less every year because they already had some of our pieces. So they would run up to us, "Oh, look, I'm wearing what I bought from you last year. Isn't it so wonderful?" But they had already bought last year. So their need to have even more this year, it was decreased. Now, often these people would buy for friends and things of that nature. But I cannot tell you by the time we got to year 3 at the same craft show, how many people would say, "Oh, I bought from you last year and I love it. I wear it all the time. Good luck with your show this year." We were getting to the point of market saturation. People who liked our stuff had already bought our stuff because the same people attended the same craft shows every year. And if we would have continued to sell our handmade jewelry long term, I think we would have had to make more of an effort to mix things up as far as which shows we attended each year. Use these 10 tips to pick your perfect craft show for your item, but you can't stop there. You have to keep looking and keep trying to find a new and different craft show to mix things up a little bit, to get a different audience. Doing craft shows in different parts of the same town could be a useful tool to employ so that you're not traveling too far out of your radius, but you're still getting different customers. So those are my 10 tips for picking the perfect craft show. A lot of you have handmade businesses where you are selling on Etsy, a lot of you, which obviously we think is fantastic. But let me tell you, hearing somebody tell you to your face how wonderful they think your product is can really give you that jolt of confidence that I'm doing a great job. It can really help to propel you forward. And getting that customer feedback in person right away is invaluable as you continue to adjust and grow and change and add new products. So let me review very quickly my tips for finding the perfect craft show. Number 1, start visiting those craft shows now and talk to vendors while you're there. Number 2, consider the audience of the craft show. Number 3, think about the cost. Number 4, bigger is not always better. Number 5, think about outdoor versus indoor. Number 6, do you need any special amenities? Number 7, is it an only handmade craft show? Number 8, is it juried? Number 9, are they online? Number 10, you still may need to mix it up. Let me know if you have any other tips for finding the perfect craft show. I'm sure some of you have attended quite a few craft shows in your day as well. I loved going to craft shows and talking with people. It was always a fun thing for me to do. It doesn't float everybody's boat quite the same way. So bear that in mind too. They're exhausting as well. So don't book yourself. If you've never done a craft show, don't book yourself for 5 weeks in a row. You will just die. They are really exhausting, at least for me, because you have to be just on the whole time, which can be tough. And before I end this episode, I wanted to share something fun and exciting with you. Beth Ann and I have just been talking a lot about how there are so many different ways that you can grow your business. And the list just seems so long. It's so hard to know, okay, well, what should I try now? What's next? Is this better than that? Or is this better? And as so many of the experts say, the best thing to do is just to do something. Just pick something and just start working on it. But that can be hard to do. And we've also been thinking about how we certainly want Brilliant Business Moms to continue to grow as a community that is helping each other to grow our businesses as we try and be the best moms that we can be as well. So, with all of that being said, we're keeping our same podcasting format with interviewing a mom on Tuesday and then digging in deeper to a topic that that mom mentioned on Thursday. But we're adding something on the email end. We're calling it 52 Weeks to a Better Business. So obviously 52 weeks in a year. And with this 52 Weeks to a Better Business, we are going to be adding a challenge to each of us each week. So the idea is if we could each focus on improving just one thing each week and move forward with one thing, having others cheering us on and keeping us accountable, this whole idea of growing a business on the side could seem a bit more achievable and, of course, a lot more fun. So with 52 Weeks to a Better Business, each week you will receive an email with a challenge for that week. It's going to be emailed to you on Sundays so that you can work on that challenge the following week. And we're going to be working right there alongside you. And the challenge is going to relate to the topic that we discussed on our Thursday episode. So you will have already had a podcast episode that dug in a little deeper on that topic. And then you'll get the challenge and be able to work on it all week, and we can check in with each other and see how we're all doing and encourage each other along. 52 Weeks to a Better Business is just kind of our way to bring everything full circle. It's still the same great interview every week. It's still the same follow-up episode where we try to dig into a topic, research a topic, and present that information to you. But now it's coming full circle with that actionable step. So you've heard the information, you've listened to the podcast episodes, and then you get that challenge to go out there and make it happen with a specific action that we're all trying to take that week. And like I said, we'll be taking that action right there along with you. So if you head over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/52weeks, you can sign up for the email. And this is actually the mechanism as well to receive an email of our episodes each week. So even if you're not ready to take on the challenge, but you want to make sure you get the podcast episodes emailed to you each week, go ahead and sign up and do the challenges that you can or that you want to. We hope by tying it all together that we can all be working towards a better business, a more profitable business, a more streamlined business, a more fun business. We really hope that you join in along with us to try 52 weeks to a better business. And as moms, we know we don't have 40 hours to spend on our businesses a week or to spend on the challenge each week. So this is all going to be, this is doable for you, doable for where you are and where your business is. And taking everything step by step will help us to propel our businesses forward. Well, that's it for now. I think I heard Sullivan upstairs talking, so I better get him down from his naps right now. But thank you for joining me today on this podcast episode. And now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant and go to our website and sign up for 52 Weeks for a Better Business. Thanks a lot. Bye.